Right. The protection is all because we've been hurt before, so we think we can premeditate our plans and our actions and protect ourselves beforehand and guard our own hearts and guard our own minds because we think that we know what's best, that's going to protect us, that's going to leave us unscathed, that's going to whatever.
Hi, welcome to the Hard to Hope podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Megan.
And I'm Sally, and we're here to talk about when it's hard to hope walking with Jesus and walking out our faith.
We're passionate about seeking revival for our generation and believe that a key to that is by pursuing authentic, personal relationship with the Lord, even when it's hard.
So we're here for the journey of taking things from our heads to our hearts. So come along with us and we'll walk it out together.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We're glad you're here.
Hard to Hope podcast. We are in Syracuse today.
Whoop, whoop.
It's fun. We're at Sally's house and my old house.
Oh, so weird.
Which I think I've been here once since I moved out.
Yeah, to sleep over?
I think I slept over one night.
Yeah.
It would have been when Heather was still here. But lots of memories in this house. Some good, some not so good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the house itself is fine. I love this house and the
this
girls.
This house is great.
Just the memories.
Yes.
But, yeah, so this is really fun to be here today, and we are once again excited, nervous, don't really know what this is going to sound like, per usual.
Mm-hmm.
Our usual disclaimer that we don't know everything, and we're currently still walking out a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today.
Yes, for sure.
Yep.
Yes. So this episode, we're going to be talking about anxiety and kind of, I don't know, working through that subject. Yeah. Obviously not a finished anything. Yeah. I thought I would start with the definition of anxiety.
Perfect.
Per Merriam-Webster dictionary. Apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness, usually over an impending or anticipated ill, a state of being anxious. So that's anxiety. Just bringing the Lord into that and how that can change our perspective because anxiety gets really inward and terrible.
Yeah. Really messy.
Yeah.
So, Sally, how do you think this word anxiety pertains to life right now or our generation right now? How do you, when you think of anxiety right now, either in your own life or in just our generation, what kind of thoughts come to your mind?
Yeah. So, right now, it seems like something that it's like a ball of stuff in my life, maybe circumstances or dreams, hopes, all of the things kind of intertwined that I want to unknot. And often I think that I do that alone or I want to do that alone and then like have it be with the Lord after that. Like I don't want to present like that stuff until I've figured out the goal or the end thing or that like anticipated ill. I want to figure out what it is and why it is and the whole thing instead of like bringing it to the Lord and surrendering. So like we talked about, control is like a big part of it. And I think that for me, feelings are like I almost get to a place of anxiety before I know it and my feelings are like in the ditch already. Like I'm just down and everything sucks and life is like over in my mind. And I can't figure it out. Like I usually get to that place where it's like, ah, this is impossible. I can't do this. And, that those feelings kind of just overcome me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I am not able to this or I, the world's over.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, like, automatically what that brought to my mind is the other night I had this moment with the Lord where, and I guess now thinking about it, it probably was, like, came out of just all these feelings of anxiety over the last week. I just had, like, a not fun week last week with work. Where I just felt like it produced a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And so, like, going into the weekend with that, I had this moment with the Lord where I felt like he was saying, like, all the need to be, like, I need to not be anxious before I come to him. I need to, like you were saying, have it all unraveled already, but, like, you already fall into that even before. Like, I just felt like he was saying the need to be, to think that I need to be rested enough to hear from him before I can hear from him. that I need to be rested enough to obtain, like, to have a restful day. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, to already not be anxious so that I can do blah, 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 blah. Like, that striving is more, like, the striving in itself, in of itself, to feel like I need to be one place before he can meet me, like, that creates more anxiety than the actual. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, and I felt like he was like, you need to chill. Like,
yes.
Like, that striving is not even about the things. It's about thinking that you need to work all this stuff out in yourself before you can even come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like the word says, like, he already made the way to his heart. Like, Jesus made the way to the heart of the Father. That's it. Like, you don't have to do anything in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have this figured out, A, B, C, before you can, like, come to him or have rest or have peace. Like,
yeah.
That in itself, the trying to do all that, creates more angst and anxiety than the actual thing itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that, I don't know if that makes, does that make sense?
Yeah.
But that, like, blew my mind. I was like, oh, I'm just, like, actually shooting myself in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm.
Yes.
Trying to figure all this stuff out before it's even an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. This visual comes to mind because I don't like it, but I'm a very visual person.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that, I don't know why this came to my mind, like, a while ago, but it kind of was in that, like, pertaining to anxiety and feeling like, what was the image was that, like, if I was to get hit by a car, how badly that would hurt. Like, the kind of, like, oh my gosh, I would hate to, this is so graphic, but, like, hit the pavement and, like, feel that before I was dead or whatever, before I was unconscious, how terrible that would be. And those are the kind of thoughts that, like, they're just intrusive and stupid and, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I deal with that sometimes, and it's fine.
Doesn't deal with intrusive thoughts.
But I was like, what is this? And I felt like the Lord was just like, you know, if you anticipate that, which, like, why would I get hit by a car anyway? But anyway, if you anticipate that pain in situations of being hit by something that you didn't prepare for, or you couldn't prepare enough for the pain that was coming, then you're actually just doing it over and over again to yourself by thinking about how badly that will hurt and how badly that would be, like, how bad that would feel to experience.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, you know what? In that moment, I wouldn't be sitting there with anxiety, probably expecting it. If I can let it go now, the thing, when it hits me, God will give me the grace to deal with it then.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh my gosh, what if this hits me? I don't think I can handle it. And it's like, well, that's not what God's asking you to do right now. Like, maybe years down the road, you will have to deal with that. But right now, he didn't ask of you, like, that thing. So why are you going over and over how you can't handle it yet?
Yeah. And it's like that same idea that we've talked about, I feel like, of, like, we're not promised a life without X, Y, Z. Like, we are promised hurt and, like, problems and things like that. But is the preparedness actually preparing ourselves in the Word, preparing just our character, preparing us to sit in His presence so that when those things come, we're ready? Or is it, are we just preparing with anxiety?
Right.
That really doesn't produce anything.
Mm-mm.
Whereas we could, you know, be doing character kind of things to produce us.
Yeah.
To produce in us a preparedness for the, for when things come.
Yeah.
Because that's true. Like, there are things, you know what I mean? Like, I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with, I don't necessarily feel like I do a ton, but, like, just thinking about things ahead of them, kind of like what you were saying, that, like, well, this could happen, well, this could happen, well, this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's, there's nothing you can do in the moment to prepare for that anyways.
Yes.
So, like, are you going to prepare yourself by already, you know, doing those adrenaline and hormones and whatever in your body to produce anxiety, or, like, are you going to produce the character in yourself now, practicing His presence in you now? You know what I mean? Things like that to prepare.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So how do you think that the Lord, like, so in my mind, I imagine it, like, we can spiral downward into, like, partnering with fear, which has to do with punishment, like the Word says, or being in love, and that will spiral us upward. What do you think, like, how do you see the Lord meeting people? Like, some people might be listening, they're, like, in the depths of, like, no, I've literally partnered with what you were just talking about over and over again. I'm not preparing in a good way. Yeah. I've been doing this. And other people who are like, I don't really know what I'm doing. It just, like, when it hits me, it hits me. And when it leaves, like, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, I'm actively, like, in the Word, fighting this battle. How do you, like, I don't know, what would you speak to that person / like, what the Lord would say to them?
To which one?
To, like, any of those situations. I feel like specifically, like, if you're just spiraling and, like, unable to kind of gain that sense, not of control, but of, like, releasing control.
Yeah.
Not to be depressed, but to, like, hope in God.
It's so hard because, like, I feel like the other, like, one of the advices for that is just, like, well, just stop. Well, just stop eating. Just, like, just stop right now. And it's, like, that's easier said than done. Like, all of this stuff we know is just easier. Easier to talk about on a podcast on a Wednesday or Thursday morning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just is.
Totally.
But, I don't remember if I've said this before, but I feel like one thing that just overarches all of it, which I don't even remember when the Lord spoke this to me or if it was just something somebody said, but just asking him for help, honestly, like just asking the Holy Spirit, like, because I think there are a lot of moments where we're in the middle of it and it's very hard. There's a lot of fog of anxiety or whatever around us that it's going to be really hard for us to just, like, quote unquote, just stop.
Yep.
And ask something I've asked is that the Holy Spirit would, like, just speak to me in that moment and just tell me, like, hey, you're about to, like, you're already down this rabbit trail or, like, you're about to, and just like a little break check. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just a Holy Spirit on my heart that, like, hey, I want you to stop for a minute and think about this before you go any further.
Yeah.
And I truly don't think that's something we can do on our own. Mm. I think that, you know what I mean? I think that's part of the things, like, we need to just ask the Holy Spirit, can you do that? Like, I'm asking you to just, if I'm doing that or when I'm heading down that rabbit trail or whatever, can you just do that kind of break check in my heart? And oh my will. Gosh. Like, he is, I've seen him. He's faithful to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, first and foremost, ask the Holy Spirit for help.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it is, I feel like it is kind of one of those we've talked about before, like, choosing to do, you know what I mean? Choosing one way or the other, what you're gonna set your mind on. And I guess that's where I was going to talk about Philippians 4 today at some point, which is, like, one of my favorite passages, I think.
Yeah.
Which I thought about after when we were recording our favorite passages podcast.
Yeah.
Thing. That this is, Philippians 4 has been one that I have since middle school, which I talked about, like, in my testimony, was when I really felt like I just got on board with the Lord, with the Word, and all that stuff. And a lot of that was surrounding, like I think I talked about in the testimony podcast, like, about what was true and what was not. But a lot of that was also surfacing, like, around anxiety. Because I was in middle school, so everybody's anxious in middle school. But just the verses, of course, I'm sure we all know about the being anxious for nothing. And then verse 7, which I love, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. So I pray that, and that's where I feel like it's the Holy Spirit's job. But me partnering with the Holy Spirit to believe this is that, and I put a hand over my head and a hand over my heart. And I say the Lord is going to guard my heart and he's going to guard my head by his peace that passes my own understanding. And I physically do that into my hands.
Yeah.
But then the next part of that whole chapter in chapter 4 is the meditating on these things. And that's, I have to choose to meditate on these things and to switch, you know, once the Lord's guarded my heart and guarded my mind in his peace, then I have to choose to continue to meditate on those things. And I think I talked with you or I talked on Instagram about this the other day. Like, the very first one is whatever's true. And I could basically stop right there every single time. Like, okay, is the thing I'm talking about or dwelling on over and over again in my mind, is it even true?
Yeah.
Like, probably could stop right there every single time.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, again, the same thing we've talked about, that there, it could also be something that there is a little bit of truth in there, but the enemy has used it and twisted it, you know what I mean, with a lie, and then it's not true. You know what I mean? It's not purely truth anymore, but like, a thing for me that I'm struggling a lot with anxiety right now is, and Heather talked about this the other week, is pre-work, like, pre-shift anxiety at the hospital. And I can't even think about the next shift yet. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if a baby comes in with this? Like, I don't even know that to be true yet. So, like, why am I even dwelling on it? And I feel like that's what we're talking about with control comes in a lot, too.
Yep.
And one of my all-time favorite pieces of advice from Patrice Bodington for my mom.
Let's go.
For my mom is, she says, don't dwell on it if you don't know it to be true yet. Like, stop right there. Do you even know it to be true? Then why are you wasting time
Oh my god.
Like,
gosh.
Why are you wasting time at all thinking about it?
Yeah.
If you don't even know it to be, it could be true in the future. Like what we're saying, what are you preparing yourself for? It could be true in the future, but right now in this moment, is it true or not? And if it's not, if you don't know it to be true in this moment, why are you, it's like the verse that's, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Today has enough trouble of its own. We're not saying there's not going to be ever trouble. It's today has enough of its own. So why are we even, why are you even barring trouble for tomorrow yet?
Yeah. That is, like, so convicting. That every time you share something. I'm like, you're like, am I making sense? I'm like, too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so highlight from what you just said. I'm going to, like, try to echo it back to you and tell me if I got that right or whatever.
Okay.
So ask the Holy Spirit for help. That's, like, the part where you are not in control.
Yeah.
Is, like, asking him to help you get out of that place, basically.
Yep.
Like, humbling yourself enough to be like, hey, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And then meditating on what's actually true.
Yeah.
Were those, like, the two main things?
Yeah, I think so.
That is... Okay, I've been thinking a lot about... there's so many things. But, like, I've been doing that, where I'm like, but what if this happens? Then I don't want to do that. Or if this were to happen, then I want to get out of here quick before that would happen. Like, trying to, like...
premeditate
it so that I can, like, have the least pain, basically, in my mind right now, like, the least pain in, like, relational issues or, like, that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to, like,
protect
rock the
yourself.
Boat. Yeah. And, so, like, humbling myself enough to be like, oh, which, like, while you were talking, I'm like, dang, because I feel like it must be my job to fix it. Like, it really feels like, what was the verse you just said? I don't know, but, like, it feels like, oh, it must be me. Like, I need to this. And it's like, no, actually, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you because he's your advocate.
Yeah.
And then he's going to, like, ask the Father to help you, too, and send even more help.
Right.
And you just have to turn yourself to be like, hey, I'm actually going to humble myself and not keep trying to figure this out and, like, give you the reins again because I took them, but I'm going to give them back and ask for help because I don't know where we're going.
I mean, it all comes back to surrendering and knowing that God is for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and we have, that's the, some of the things that we have to preach over ourselves of what is true and what is pure and whatever, is that, right, the protection is all because we've been hurt before, so we think we can premeditate our plans and our actions and protect ourselves beforehand. And guard our own hearts and guard our own minds because we think that we know what's best, that's going to protect us, that's going to leave us unscathed, that's going to whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Versus, like, having to actually choose to believe that he wants to guard your heart, wants to guard your mind at peace, and that he has the best. Like, he has protection for you, even if it's not that you don't necessarily get hurt, it's just that he... ultimately, the protection is his presence, his peace. You know what I mean? His hope in the end. But if we can prevent ourselves from ever getting hurt at all, obviously that's what we would do.
Right.
But the thing is, even if we try to prevent ourselves from getting hurt, that doesn't mean we will.
And sometimes we end up in a worse jam because we didn't just give it to God first.
Right. But it's like that, like, 2 steps back, like, 2 steps forward, 10 steps back kind of thing where it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes how it feels with the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, it does feel like that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because our hands are very, like, not capable and there's a lot of bondage there to be like, I can do this. I can deal with it. I want to have control versus giving it to the Lord and being like, I can actually just be a kid now and have freedom to kind of like, and then you'll tell me when, like, no, we're not doing that. We're going this way. It's like, oh, I don't understand why, but okay.
Yeah.
It's not in my hands, but I think we often... feel like it should be in our hands.
Yeah, I do feel like control just encircles all of it, truthfully.
Yeah.
For me, like... Yeah, another verse that I wrote down to talk about today was the Matthew 6 verse that says, talking about the lilies don't have to worry, the birds don't have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the verse right before where it talks about seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. It says, okay, so verse 31 is, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you. And so I think that part about for the Father already knows what you need, that's for me where it, like, speaks to control. Because it's like, I think I already know what I need.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try to worry about what shall I eat or what shall I drink or what shall I wear. But that the Father already knows. And I feel like, truthfully, it's, again, shooting myself in the foot where my need to be in control is truly what leads, for me, to the most anxiety.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
And it's, somebody preached on, not on control last week, but on, at Abundant Life, on carrying your cross and what it means to count all these things lost for gain of knowledge of Christ and stuff. And I was thinking during the sermon and after, like, for me, it's control. Like, that's my thing that it feels like I need to give up as loss to see as gain for the kingdom. And it's something that I feel like I pray, like, oh, I've prayed over the past few months, like, I know you can do it. I know you can just help me to give up control right now. In a split second moment, that's something you know what I mean? It's like all those other things that you could heal me from this, from my need to control. Like, you could take it away right now. I just want to be done with it. I just want to be done with the need to feel like I'm being controlled. But he's the one who said, like, it's kind of the 2 steps forward, 10 steps back kind of thing. And that's okay. Like, I think in my mind I was like, I'm just done with this. I just want to be done now. Versus, like, the 2 steps forward, 10 steps backward thing is like, oh, I'm being sanctified. I'm going from grace to grace. You know what I mean? Like, actually learning how to let go of control versus, like, the Lord just doing it in that snap moment is actually going to be better for me in the end. So just for anybody who needs grace for that, like, it is 2 steps forward and 10 steps backward sometimes.
Yeah.
But that continual kind of moving forward eventually as you're being sanctified.
Oh, my.
If that makes sense. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. There's just a lot there. I'm like, I'm going to need to listen to this a few more times. Because I need to, like, practice it. Because I can say, yeah. But then when I, you know, walk out of this room, I'm like, and I need to control again. Mm-hmm. So what was your specific thing for our generation? Was there something you wanted to say there? Or you just...
Oh, no. Yeah, just we were talking before about how I see, like, the very end of my generation, and, like, probably your, like, we're not different generations. Like, yeah, the years, I guess, not generations, but, like, the end of, like, the teenage years to, like, the end of the 20 years right now, just a very strong, like presence of just anxiety. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's something that has been present in every generation and every time period and whatever, but anxiety specifically, I think, is marking our generation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just kind of curious, like, what your thoughts are, like, why? And if there's anything that's like personally, I think social media and stuff like that, not to be like archaic or whatever, but it's like adding to that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know part of it is just that's the time in your life where you're doing a lot of your, like, your brain is finishing forming. Like, there's a lot of practical things, like you're going to college or people are starting lives on their own, going out of their parents' houses, getting married, having babies, like, all that kind of is starting for a lot of people. And so I think that that is probably a practical part that adds to it. That I think, sorry, my stomach. I think somebody in an older generation could look back and say, oh, that's just part of your 20s. You're just figuring it out.
Right.
But I think there is something a specific.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a different kind of, like, mark of anxiety that's going on in this generation that I'm not really sure what's going on. And it's kind of ticking me off that the enemy has chosen this form to attack this generation.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, like, definitely, because when you think about it, it's like, of course, it's been here for But even just, like, workplaces now have, like, mental health days, and, like, mental health has become this huge thing. Like, I would say even idolized, where it's, like, this thing of, like, I have to take care of my mental health.
Yeah.
I need to do my soul care, because otherwise I'm going to, like, fall apart.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that that's really, I think that's really, like, when I was saying before we started the podcast, where it's like the enemy knows that there's a power in this generation and that there's something really specific that the Lord has for this time and this generation to accomplish, and the enemy just doesn't want that. And so he's, I guess, I don't know if this is like his, one of his tactics that's finally like, you know, come to a very terrible head or whatever, that he's like, I'm going to use this as like in the forefront of things. But, I feel like even, I don't know this like super personally, because I was, this was only a few years, like I was a teenager, now I'm in my 20s when this all happened or whatever. But with COVID, I feel like there, everyone talks about 100%. From like little kids up to adults, that it like there really marked, and it changed things. And I do feel like there's like a, you said fog earlier, like that kind of like, there's something over people's eyes where it's just like, we're not, like, we don't look at each other in the store anymore. We don't have conversations. We don't really expect good or, like, anticipate, like, beauty and, like, fun and joy. And that's, like, really broad. Like, of course we do. But there's, like, a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of weight there, like, spiritually, where it's just sort of, like, what is this all for? And I heard something, but I'm not, I don't know what it's from. But where, like, war would, in the past, like, bring people together and they would, like, be like banding together as a people against something versus like an evil, not even necessarily like, oh, we want to hurt people, but like the evil of like, why is this happening? Like World War II or something. Like, we just don't want this terrible eugenic movement happening. But then now, like when COVID happened, it was just sort of like we were all against each other and you were my enemy. And I, you know, like everyone around me was someone that I couldn't be near. Like it put everybody as like a bad guy, including yourself. And so it was like, I feel like it just made this divide. And then there's been a lot of, a lot more shifting, I feel like, apart since then. That's really like, that's not like a super, I don't know, spiritual, but just examples.
I think it, that's really practical. I think specifically in like, like I work in a pediatric ER and we've seen a huge uptick in kids coming in with like, I'll just call them full on identity crises or anxiety or depression, suicidal ideation. All of that has like gone through the roof since COVID. And I think, yeah, I think that's just a practical, like not necessarily COVID, but just the things that it produced, like separation, like you're saying, even like, I don't want to like harp on this, but truly, like, I do think social media has something to do with it. Like, it heightens comparison. It heightens, you know, oh, I could have this. Like, I don't have it now, but I could. Or if my life, like we talked about last episode, if my life was just different in this way, everything would be better. Or even just the ability to communicate, I feel like, with so many people at once. Like, all that stuff that's kind of beyond our natural, like, ability, I feel like does almost that, like, overstimulation or whatever can produce a lot of angst.
And I think because it's such a...
It's a practical part of it,
like, lonely thing. Like, you and the phone can be anywhere kind of thing. Like, it's just the two of you.
Right.
I don't know. It, or maybe not lonely, but, like, isolated thing. That it can kind of, like, you come to conclusions that, like, around a dinner table, that would not have been how it would have maybe concluded. But you see one thing and you decide, yep, I don't like that, or I like that. I'm for that, I'm against that. Because you saw someone that you kind of respect on social media who you don't actually know.
Right.
But, like, they said something, and you saw the statistic, and you're like, yep, I believe them.
Right.
And then you are against someone in the other room in your house over that same thing because of what you saw or what you perceived from it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really, like, so much isolation with, like... It's like our phones are, like, our best friends. Like, they're, like, the thing that we're, like... Oh my gosh, like, you know, like you grab if there was like something like, oh, I don't have my phone.
My comfort.
Yeah.
My comfort blankie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
I would say that that's like a lot of it is the social media because, I mean, what else are we, I don't know, I can get on my email on other things or I don't know.
Right.
It's just, seems to be really big because it's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think is good advice for like our, that gen, our generation then, that like 18 to young 20s, old 20s?
It's
who are walking through even some of the practicals of like, no, I am trying to choose what college I'm going to. No, I am trying to choose what career I'm going to go down. No, I am trying to decide if I'm going to marry this person. Like, all that kind of stuff. And at the same point, like, what you're saying, like, there is a purpose for this generation. Like, they have, we have calling on our life. We have
purpose from the Lord. Like, yeah, how do we, what's some advice I guess you would have to help combat that so that some of that purpose and identity and really calling that this generation has for revival, for a marked generation that is, that's what I truly feel. I mean, we've talked about that from the beginning, is a marked generation that's supposed to be after the heart of the Lord. That if I feel like if we're turning a little bit more in that purity of thought, not just like, I mean, purity is, everybody automatically assumes like sexual purity, which obviously we want that too. But which we haven't eventually we've been talking about. But just purity of thought of, am I running after the Lord or am I running after the things of this world? Like, how can we kind of turn towards that direction and be running after the Lord instead of letting anxiety fog our minds and then turn us? Either turn us the other way or just, like, keep us
distracted.
I think that's a big thing, too. It's not necessarily that we'll all turn away from the Lord, but it's that we'll be so caught up in this fog that we're not moving forward in the things of the Lord. That, I feel like, is huge. That's called the lukewarm generation, my friends. Like, that's in Revelation. Like, you know what I mean? Not necessarily turn away, but being stuck.
Yes.
In that.
Same old over and over again cycle.
What's your advice?
Okay, so
Sally,
one thing.
A wise one.
Oh, dear.
I think that something that is very, very uncomfortable, and I see a lot in my generation as something that people don't really love, is having wise counsel and being willing to heed that counsel. And my mom is a very big, we both have that in common with our moms, but like, listening to my mom and being willing to, when she has like a nudge from the Holy Spirit to speak something to me when I'm reacting to anxiety or whatever and feeling like I'm caught, like you were just saying, in that like repetitive cycle of crap, that she'll be like, Sally, you need to choose, or you need to like step out of this, and she'll give me like verses and like practices and just be like, you need to, you know, humble yourself, submit to the Lord, surrender this. And I don't want to hear that. Like, that's not what I want. I want it solved. I want things changed. I want to feel better. I want to like numb the pain and do something else. And I'm really grateful for that authentic, vulnerable relationship. I see a divide, and I even talked to some of the women in my church, and they're like, yeah, there is a divide between the older generation and the younger. Like, we're meant to work together. And, like, the wineskin thing of, like, an old wineskin and a new one, like, you don't put the new wine in the old wineskin, that kind of thing. Like, there's those things, but there's also, like, that you need both to be able to come to the place of, like, forming a good new wineskin for new wine. You need the old wine, like,
to dwell in unity.
We need to, like, mix to be able to, or at least, you know, to know how to properly do the preservation of what they've gone through ahead of us. And that's kind of confusing. But I've just really, like, felt that like a lot of even my friends would, even as a young girl, like they'd be like, oh, I don't talk to my mom about that. I'm like, oh, that's a bummer, because when I would talk to my mom, I would get so much, which if your mom's not trustworthy, then you don't talk to her. But like finding that counsel where you can say things in a very authentic, transparent way and be like, this is actually what I'm going through right now, like it's really hard. And to have someone be like, okay, I see you, I hear you, that is really hard, and are you willing to move forward? Like, are you ready to take some steps? Because I have some, you know, tools in my belt that you don't have yet. And I feel like that's just huge, that, like, kids, I don't know, they're such a, like, they don't understand me. They don't know what it's really like. And it's hard. It's really hard. And sometimes I honestly, like, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. That's not what I want to hear right now. But I think the Lord provides that as a way of, like, do you have this wisdom in your life? And finding those people is really important. That's really one thing that came to mind.
Okay, I want to just, like, comment on that before you say your next thing. Yeah, it's almost like, I guess my heart then would just be to this generation, like, pleading with them to seek wise counsel, like you're saying, and things like that, and that to not have a hard heart. That's, I don't need to hear, I can figure this out on my own. Not like a, and I'm not trying to, that's, I guess my point is, I'm not trying to be like, we're doing it wrong, like, stop being whatever, but like pleading, because it's good. It's good to receive, like, it's wisdom to receive that wise counsel. Like, so I guess that's what I would just speak to our listeners, like, please find that, like, please find that wise counsel, and those people who are open with you and honest with you, and good counsel, not poor counsel, but people who are going to be honest with you, and but because it's for your benefit. Like, it's for our benefit that we seek that out.
if anyone's visual, this is what I think of. Like, you know how hammocks have, like, or, like, a lattice or something? They have, like, the one direction and then the other direction of, like, the wood or, I don't know, fabric or whatever it is. I feel like a lot of people want to, even the older generation now, I would say, because there's such a divide between the older and younger generation, the older would like to stick with their pattern, and the younger would like to stick with theirs. And when you, like, try to step on both, like, each of those individually for support, you fall through. But when you connect them over each other and cross the, you know, this way with that way, then it's an actual supportive. Like, oh, this works.
Yeah.
But I think that there's, like, such a humility and a, like, laying down of your own will. But when you do that, then you come to this place of, like, oh, the compromise was better than we could have done on our own.
It's actually strengthened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should we just put the plug in here that... for our upcoming episode.
Yes, yes.
So that people stay tuned.
Yes.
And don't get bored with our podcast.
Oh, they won't.
So, Mother's Day, we're going to be next week interviewing our moms.
Yes. It's going to be so good.
Just about this topic, about the generations, right? Crossing the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Or closing the gap. I don't remember the word you used.
Oh, I don't know.
For
crossing the generational divide.
The great divide.
Yeah, literally.
But, yeah, just about that, and also just seeking out some of their wisdom. And
they have so much to offer.
They have so much, and they're both praying mamas for their kids, and they both raise children and then release them into the world, and I'm excited to ask them just about some of that.
Yeah.
Just hear some of the stories. So, yeah, that's coming up soon, too.
It's going to be so good. I'm excited. But,
yeah.
Yes.
Do you have additional thoughts?
No, but we didn't think of a question for the end.
I have one after this last question that I want to ask you.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Okay, so I've asked friends about this before. The difference between, like... There's a very big push for right now for, like, I'm number one, take care of number one, things like that. And, like, self-care and all that stuff. But in the other hand, self-care is important. So where's the balance between, like, taking care of yourself, but it being, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of push right now that's, like, does that make sense?
I think it does.
I can't think of the wording that I'm trying to use, like, because I actually think self-care is important. But I don't like the emphasis that, the worldly emphasis that's behind, like, self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Not self-care. What am I trying to think of?
I don't know.
I literally just went to the spa, so obviously I believe in self-care.
Obviously.
But, like, does that make sense, or is that a stupid question? We can delete this out if this doesn't make sense.
No, I think that makes sense. It's going with the anxiety thing?
I think so. Like, I think it's about, like...
feeling like we need to relieve the pressure by just, like, dealing, like...
yeah, by, like...
I think I have somewhat of an answer.
I don't know. I guess even... maybe that's a generational question. Like, I think maybe even an older generation would be like,
yeah,
buck it up. We don't take days off.
Right.
Versus, like, I guess we could even talk about it into, like, the whole, like you said, that people take, like, mental health days and stuff like that. Like, I do think part of that is healthy, and part of it can be go in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess where's the balance between, like, doing an unhealthy way and, like, going off the deep end and being way too introspective, way too, I need to just take care of myself. I'm number one. Like, where's the balance?
Yeah.
Between that. Because obviously we see that rest is important and...
right. Right. I think it is just...
just like practically, physically, you have to take care of yourself in order to be able to do the things...
right.
Like that you're supposed to do.
I feel like there's like a... like the perspective of it. Like the outward or inward, whatever you want to say. Like the overarching approach.
Mm-hmm.
That if it's like, oh, I need to busy myself with taking care of me now instead of busy myself with taking care of you or doing taking care of that job, it will feel okay, I think, for that time. Like, oh, I'm like, you know, and I imagine like the bathtub with the candle and like my show in the background.
See,
or reading my
book. That.
No, but I think that if it's like that's the full, like, I just need this for me because whatever, then it's not going to lead you, like, you'll come to the end of that and be like, oh, I'm still kind of empty. Like, it filled me up for a second, and I felt okay, but then, like, I'm empty. Whereas, like, truly resting in the Lord, because I think that's what the world is getting at. Like, you need to rest, you need to calm down, because we're so busy. Like, the world is like, just work every day, like, 24/7, doesn't matter. And, like, Sundays are not even really a rest day for, like, businesses, anything anymore, really. And so I think it's, like, coming back to, like, what are we actually trying to get at? And with that, like, soul care or whatever self-care thing, like, figuring out what's the intention behind it. Because, obviously, like, I will take a magnesium bath when I need it. Yeah. And when I'm, like, feeling stressed out, I'm like, this will help.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, what's the deeper thing that I'm, like, trying to solve by doing this that's not actually going to be solved? It will, like... it will ease the tension for a moment. It will feel good. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's also that, like, oh, okay, there's something behind this that's, like, going to keep coming back.
Like, we're trying to put, like, the Band-Aid on the...
wound.
On the...
bullet hole.
Bullet hole. No, yeah, that's a good... like, I was trying to think of, like, on a an example of water, and I couldn't... Right. Yeah. But it's, like, because we've taken... maybe we've undone this pattern of a more restful life. Like, you're saying, working... people are working 80 plus hours a week, like that. So we have to create these moments of, I need to just take a night and do self-care or whatever.
Right. Which I think is kind of an all or nothing principle that we've fallen into instead of rhythms
of rest. Yes. Right. And restful nights, restful dinners, restful Sundays. Like what you're saying, like we almost have to
turn off, turn on
versus just a pattern of less busyness, less stressfulness in general.
Yeah. Yep. Which is interesting, because that honestly totally relates with us with the Lord, with anxiety. Like, instead of running ourselves ragged till we're like, fine, I'll give you the yarn ball, I can't figure it out.
Yes.
Coming to Him every day and being like, hey, this is still an issue and I want to pick it up, but I'm going to intentionally release it to you. I cannot do this. I need your help. And that even is a rhythm of rest of, like, the Lord can deal with it.
Rhythms of rest instead of running ragged until we are just... reaching
crisis. Ooh, R&R versus R&R.
A crisis point of, that's really good.
Okay, that was a good question.
All right, so then I think our random question of the day would be, what is your favorite self-care?
Oh.
What is your favorite, like, thing
like to do? Like the setup?
Yeah, what's your routine? If you're like, I just need to do something that's just me, that's going to be restful.
Yes.
Oh, man, I could go on and on about this topic, too.
Yeah. You've got your
frickin' rest.
Oh, yeah.
We
do a podcast on that.
So true.
Creating. I think for me, I like to... like, taking a bath is a really nice thing that I do. I'll put the Epsom salts, because that actually, like, physically helps your muscles to, like, chill out. So I'll do that and, like, excuse me, make sure my roommates are okay with me being in there for, like, an hour or so. Yeah. And, like, just, like... have everything set up, have it really hot, and then, I used to, like, try to watch something, but sometimes I get, like, really distracted. Like, it doesn't help me calm down. So, recently I've been reading, and then I'll, like, have, like, I'll make tea or
why
put something.
Why does reading just feel so much more...
it's better for your brain. It doesn't, like, spin you. It, like, slows you.
Than TV.
Yeah. But, so I've been, taking my book into the bathtub, and then I'll just lay there and read for, like, a while, and have, like, last time I made, like, iced tea, because I was like, I don't want a hot drink. This is too much. So I just have my iced tea.
Balance.
Yeah. And then, like, I have some things that I'll do. Like, I have this little foot thing that I'll, like, rub on my feet to get some of the dry skin off.
Yep.
Or what else do I do? I don't know. It's not very intense. I am not. Yeah. I don't like to be very high maintenance. But it's very relaxing.
Yeah.
That's what I like, is for it to be chill.
I love it.
What about you?
So good. Well, even while you're saying that, I feel like... the days that I just, like... okay, so with work, I figured out that there's some days that are recovery days and some days that are rest days. And I actually need, like, sometimes after, like, 2 or 3 12-hour shifts, like, I need a recovery day. Like, for my body to physically recover.
Mm-hmm.
And that might just be me sitting in my bed watching TV, which isn't actually, like, restful, like, for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you're saying, like, with books and stuff. Like, or, I don't know, like, it just doesn't feel like... I did something that I enjoyed. Like, I literally was just, like, letting my body recover from being on my feet for 24 hours in the past few days. You know what I mean? So even that, to me, feels different than, like, a rest. Like, an actual intentionally resting day. And I have to be intentional to rest because I think I've talked about this before. Like, I just create patterns of distraction all the time in my life to try to distract myself.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid. And I wish I wouldn't do it anymore. But... something I'm working on. I'm a recovering distractor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And not to be cliche, because I literally just did this yesterday, but I love going. I love a spa day, man.
That's
but it
amazing.
Only happens about once a year.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
So I'd say if I'm going big or going home, it'd be a spa day.
Okay.
Because you just go...
all the things.
Even if you just do one thing, you get all the amenities. Yes. I love amenities.
Like what?
You're just there. Like even... like both the spas I've been to have like hot tubs. Like so after you... I usually get a massage and I'm just...
oh.
Get like... do go to the hot room or their steam room or whatever. Honestly, even my favorite part is like the end where you're just like... you use their showers and they have shampoo and yes. conditioner for you and hot tools and you can sit just and do your hair and relax. I love that. But I guess like on a typical, more typical day, because that really only happens once a year.
More typical day.
My self-care, I guess, is just sitting on the couch with my coffee and reading.
Mm-hmm. That is
honestly
so nice. Yeah.
Because, no, I totally agree with you. Like the TV thing does not feel as restful to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that does more in my brain to, like, stimulate me versus just calming down.
Yeah.
For a second. And, like, being home. Just being home, I think, is restful for me. Like, and something, again, that I have to, like, intentionally plan. Because I just, like, plan so many things to get together with people and things like that. Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah.
But to actually, like, sometimes I have to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stay home tonight.
Oof. I struggle with that.
And, but that, to me, is restful. Is just being... I'm not even an introvert, but just being by myself on my couch once everything's clean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting there.
You can just sit there for a second.
Sit there for a sec.
So nice.
But.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Well, this was fun. I feel like that was really good.
Yeah.
That was helpful to me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that all that you wanted to get into?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't even know where my notebook went. Yeah.
I know. My notes are all over the place.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining Yay. Us. We appreciate your ears and your hearts being involved in this, and we're grateful to be able to do it.
I hope that you're encouraged, and we'll see you next time.